So as we prepare to meditate on God's word, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for the depth of your generosity to us. I pray that you would give me your words for your people and that you would open our hearts and our ears to the good news that you have for us through this parable. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, before I get into the parable of the vineyard workers, or as I'm going to suggest, the parable of the generous boss, I'd like to tell you about something that happened to a member of my family, a milestone for Bethany this month. Sometime this month, Bethany will have applied for her 1,000th job online on Seek. She's had a couple of interviews, but she hasn't got a job. And it can get a bit despondent when that happens. You can feel a bit down. And I actually asked Bethany about what it was like to keep on applying for jobs, to just apply and apply and apply and nothing, get nothing. And I actually wrote her words down because I thought they were quite profound. She said, "It sucks," pretty much. "Part of me knows that it's not personal. They see so many resumes and applications that they probably don't even read mine. But part of me thinks there must be something wrong with me. And everything is geared for those who have work. You can't save anything on youth allowance. People say, just give some things up. Don't drink one coffee a day." She says, "I can't afford one coffee a day." And so the word that comes to mind for Bethany in this situation, and maybe you've been in a similar place, or maybe you haven't, is the word shame. And shame is not about doing something wrong, it's about something is wrong with me. And it can be very profound. And I'd like to just raise the discussion here in terms of it's not just unemployment or the inability to get a job that might lead to shame and that sense that something is deeply wrong with you as a person. What are some of the other things in our life that can cause shame? The sense that we're not worthy or that we're not, that there's something basically wrong with us. What are some of those other things?
Trying to do something like, okay, I'm going to try and get my homework done on time or something, and it's like, and I'm nowhere near.
Okay, so a feeling of inadequacy at something that you try to do, sure. Yep.
People don't talk to you.
Oh, being ignored. You go, man, what's wrong with me? You know, or if a friend or someone that you know kind of blanks you off, walks past you without acknowledging you. Absolutely. What else?
That they know you dislike.
Okay. So being on the receiving end of something that's kind of nasty, maybe. Yep. So gossip. Gossip does that.
I think also in the Northern it's a big thing because like when you are trying to do something, you don't get it. Feel that something wrong with this.
Yeah.
Because like in the situation of the history you say, she might feel that something wrong, but she is not doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
She's doing the best she can.
Yeah.
But people somewhere there do not put attention on it.
Yeah.
Because they can't.
So if people don't notice the good things and the things that you're doing well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other ideas? Yeah.
Being overlooked because you're too...
Yep. Yep. Abuse. If we're on the receiving end of abuse, we can certainly feel a sense of shame and something that's wrong with us. Justin?
I've done
nothing. Mm-hmm. You've done the thing that is... Sometimes shame is connected with guilt, and when you do something wrong, you think, oh, maybe there's something actually wrong with me. Now, I want you to keep that in mind as we look at the parable of the vineyard workers, okay? It might help us to take a bit of a different view of the parable. Matthew 20, 1 to 16. I'd actually like to call this, rather than the parable of the vineyard workers, the parable of the generous boss. Because the real main character is not the blokes who go out into the vineyard to do the work. It's the boss who keeps coming back and back to the marketplace to find workers. Now, in the Middle East, this was very common in Jesus' time. So those who were available for day work in the fields or in the vineyards would gather in the marketplace, and their potential employers would come and look at them and go, you, I'll take you, come and work in my vineyard or in my fields. It still happens in the Middle East. I had a lecturer in Bible College who worked in Afghanistan and who saw exactly this thing, where the young men would come out, they would basically put themselves on display in order to try to get some work for the day. And there's some really strong themes that come through the parable of the generous boss. Shame and honor, justice and mercy, and I'm going to explore a little bit what these words mean, grace and compassion. Now, first of all, we've looked at shame. Shame is the other side of the coin of honor. And honor-shame is a very strong axis in Middle Eastern societies. Honor says you are worthy. It says you can lift your head. Whereas with shame, if you're ashamed, you don't look at people. You don't make eye contact. You can look someone in the eye. Honor says you are worthy. Now, if we look at the parable that Jesus tells from the point of view of shame and honor, imagine what it's like to be the person who's applied for 1,000 jobs and hasn't got one. Imagine what it's like for the young men who say, at 5 p.m., you know, an hour before the sun is going down, they go, he says, why are you standing around? They say, because no one has hired us. And not only are they worried about the shame that they have of not being able to find work for the day, but they have an anxious family at home who in 1 hour they're going to have to go home and say, tonight we can't eat because I didn't get any work. Imagine how horrible that feels. What does the boss do? The vineyard owner comes and he gives them their honor. He gives them back their dignity. He says, you come and work in my field, work in my vineyard, sorry. You come, take away the disgrace of not working, and work in my field. And then not only does he show them honor, but he does justice. Now, there are two kind of definitions of justice. One of them is getting what you deserve. If you've done wrong, you deserve to be punished. If you've done good, you deserve to be rewarded. But another one, and a more important one, is setting things right. And when the boss decides to pay the workers who came last the same wage as the ones who came first, our initial reaction, my initial reaction, maybe yours, is that's unfair, you know? If they worked hard, they should get paid more. I'm with those guys who come and complain. What are you doing? We worked all day. You've made them the same as us. But here, the boss is actually showing justice to those who are poor. Because justice doesn't just mean getting what you deserve, but it means setting things right. And so as he pays them the daily wage, he's honored them, he's taken away their shame of not working. He's come and he's paid them and he's done them the justice of setting things right so that now they can go home and their family can eat tomorrow. Mercy. Now, mercy is a word that we use a lot in Christian circles, but what's it really mean? Mercy means not getting the punishment that you do deserve. When you do something bad and you deserve a punishment for it, mercy is when the person who has the authority to deal out the punishment says, I forgive you. I'm not going to punish you. And that's not directly in the parable, but it will come in a little bit later. Grace and mercy, they're very closely linked, aren't they? But grace is getting the good things that you don't deserve. So mercy is not getting the bad things that you do deserve, and grace is getting the good things that you don't deserve. Does that make sense? Confused yet? Grace is the reception, the giving of a gift. Something that is completely unearned and undeserved. And grace comes through in this parable, doesn't it? For the people who are hired at 9 o'clock and 12 o'clock and 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock, they didn't deserve a full day's wage. They didn't do a full day's work. And yet the boss decides to show them grace, and he gives them much more than what they do deserve. And finally, compassion. This boss is an incredibly generous man. He is full of compassion for the people who are downtrodden. And he shows that compassion to them, not only by paying them, but also by going back and back and back to the market. My friend who worked in Afghanistan said that by midday, no one was left. If you hadn't got a job by midday in the marketplace, you weren't going to get a job for that day. And yet the boss comes back just on the chance that there might be someone who's still out of work. Yeah, Maisie?
So, someone got the job they didn't want and got the job they didn't. The other person wanted their job. They just have to suck it up and be compassionate.
Absolutely. Yep, that's right. And that's what the boss does here. Compassion is about putting yourself in the other person's shoes. It's about thinking what it's like to be that other person and suffering with someone. Yeah, James?
It's not even Afghanistan. It's even in our East Africa. In Kenya, people come to the one place in the morning.
Yep.
The guy that is left in that field.
Yep.
And the people who need to hire some people.
Awesome.
Come there.
Yep.
You say, I need 2 people,
yep.
I need 3 people, I need these people. Then they go and do the job.
Yep.
Duration you need, literally pay them. That's how they are.
So it's lived experience in your life, isn't it, yeah. James? You see how this works in your own culture. Yeah. That's so awesome. And when they finish, they will be paid depending on the job or the hours that they worked and that kind of thing?
Yes.
Yeah. And some of those people will be people who would be hungry if they didn't get a job, wouldn't they, for the day?
Some people cry if they don't get the job in the day because they need to get the job and buy the food later on for their family.
Yep. Just daily experience, which is so different from our culture. So this is the parable of the generous boss. Now, I want to go back a step. Maybe like me, you look at this parable and you go, well, it might all be very well to show mercy and grace and compassion and all that stuff, but there's still something fundamentally unfair about getting more than what you deserve or those people not getting more. When I look in the Bible, there's one person who talks about getting what we deserve. And I'm going to read that passage out to you. It's in Luke 23, verse 39 to 43. And this is after Jesus has been nailed to the cross. 2 others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed Jesus and the criminals to the cross. And the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, "So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it." But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We are being punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man hasn't done anything wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Romans 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. If God gives us what we deserve, then we're actually in big trouble because the wages of sin is death. So we can be thankful that God is generous and doesn't give us exactly what we deserve, but he actually shows us grace and mercy and compassion, which is much more than what we do deserve. Now, as I was preparing for today's sermon, something really struck me. There's one other place where this sequence of in the morning, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, late afternoon, and in the evening happens in the Bible. And we see that that's the way that the boss goes out. Early in the morning, he goes out the first time, picks the first workers, the best ones. 9 a.m., at the third hour after the sun has gone up, he goes back to the marketplace, hires some more. At noon, he goes back again, the sixth hour, and finds some more guys. At 3 p.m., he goes again. At 5 p.m., or the 11th hour, and then as evening approaches, he gathers the workers together to pay them their wages. Where is this other place that talks of this? It's actually in the crucifixion of Jesus. So I want to reframe things for you and give you a Christological reading of Matthew chapter 20. Early in the morning, it says in Matthew 27 verse 1, that early in the morning the chief priests and the Pharisees agreed that they would take Jesus to Pilate and have him go through an unjust trial so that they could crucify him. At 9 a.m., the third hour, Jesus was led out to die. And Mark 15 verse 25 says it was about the third hour when they crucified him. At noon, in Matthew 27, 45, says that at noon, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. Because Jesus was bearing the weight of the world's sins. And the world was grieving the broken relationship between Jesus and the Father. At 3 p.m., at the ninth hour, the Gospels say that Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you abandoned me? And then he gave up his spirit and he died. At about 5 p.m., late in the afternoon, Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate to ask for Jesus' body, and he took it down from the cross and he went to lay it in his own tomb. And as evening approached, Jesus' body was laid in the tomb. So how do I put that all together? What's that all mean? It means this. At the end of the day, God is generous. At the end of the day, God makes Jesus, who did all the work of our salvation through his death on the cross, and bore not only hunger and thirst and a big basket of grapes, but actually the sins of the whole world, at the end of the day, God makes him equal to us. And God pays Jesus the wages that we deserve for our sin. The wages of sin is death. And God makes us, who have done none of the work for our own salvation, equal to Jesus, the one who has borne not only the heat of the day, but the wrath of God's anger of sin. So God pays us the wages of the free gift of eternal life that Jesus actually earned for us. At the end of the day, God shows justice. He doesn't let sin go unpunished, but he takes evil into himself and overcomes it in the body of Jesus. At the end of the day, God shows mercy. He doesn't punish us like our deeds deserve, but he rather takes on the punishment himself in the person of Jesus. At the end of the day, God shows grace, just like the vineyard owner. He gives to us the things that we haven't even earned, a life with him. At the end of the day, God is compassionate. He puts himself in our shoes and dies in our place. At the end of the day, God deals with our shame. He looks at us and he sees Jesus. He looks at us and he lifts our head and he says, you are worthy. You are forgiven. Your shame is taken away and I do you the honor of treating you the way that I would treat my son. At the end of the day, we can be glad that God doesn't insist on paying us exactly what we deserve, but he's much more generous than that. God is gracious. He gives to us in Jesus what we don't deserve. And so at the end of the day, you can read this parable about the generous boss as a description of what God does for us through Jesus. However unworthy you may feel, however much the depth of your shame, God shows you honor. He shows you mercy and he gives you compassion. And so at the end of the day, we shouldn't complain that God is generous, like the generous boss in the parable in Matthew chapter 20. Thanks be to God for his honor, his justice, his mercy, his grace, and his compassion. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your amazing generosity to us, shown to us through Jesus. Thank you that Jesus did the work of our salvation for us at early morning and at 9 a.m., at 12 and at 3 and at 5 and as evening approached. And thank you that at the end of the day, you show your love and your generosity, your incredible grace to us through Jesus and all his work. In his name we pray. Amen.